Hello, welcome to the Lately in JavaScript podcast, hanging out for whatever. Hello,
hello,
Michael. How are you doing?
Well, slightly distracted, as you can tell.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to get my... see, sometimes I have the screen here, and I'm looking at it, and then my eyes are right there, and sometimes it's over there. So it looks like
too
I'm over there, even
screens.
Though... Good morning.
Too many screens will kill you.
Yes.
How are you doing?
I'm all right, mostly, yeah.
You look tired.
Oh, thank you. It's the gray, I think, that does it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did not get there yet. Well, I'm lying.
I've been here for 20 years.
There's some gray air on the sides, but it doesn't get noticed yet. Anyway, this is supposed to be a JavaScript Hangout, and after a long struggle with Google Hangouts and its new set of bugs that are preventing it to work properly,
hopefully.
I would say. I am aware that my camera will freeze any time, so before that happens, let's try to move on to the usual set of topics that we try to cover every month. The six interesting that have been happening in the JavaScript world.
What you got for us?
Well, I found several interesting topics. I've listed it in the event that I was posted in the Google Hangouts event. Google Plus event thing. And, well, I'd like to start from the first one that I found there once I am able to open it.
This is this article on scripting Photoshop via JavaScript.
Exactly. And
that
but that's
stealing your thunder.
Yes. No, it's it was helpful because I was trying to figure wherever I put the screen to share it here. Okay, I found it now.
Shall I read it? You don't have to be an advanced programmer to write scripts. I'm just a graphic designer like most of you, but you should at least have a basic understanding of JavaScript and some experience with properties and methods to get the most out of this article. Okay.
That is the introduction.
That was out of the very top. That was in the middle. Automation is useful in the work of every designer. It saves precious time and repetitive tasks and helps us solve certain problems more quickly and easily.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, now back to
I won't read the whole thing.
No, please don't. We don't have the time. Although I don't mind, we don't have the time. Well, basically, this is just an initiative to use JavaScript. Well, it's nothing really new, which is to use it as scripting language for a desktop application. And the idea of scripting applications with some kind of a scripting language that you can write some code is not very new. Michael, from what you told me, you had an Amiga computer.
I did many years ago. I never did any real scripting with it, though. I know Rex was a big thing there.
Yeah.
I'll tell you
exactly.
I'll tell you what this reminds me of. This reminds me of, and I remember, must have been 1998, going to a Linux user group in Washtenaw County. Hello, Lugwash. Somebody was giving a demonstration of scripting GIMP with, I think it was Perl. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure it was Perl. It might have been Python. And I remember some of the guys there saying, well, what would you need to do that for? There's no purpose in that,
and then it was
shocking to hear somebody say that at a Linux meeting. Why would I need to script something? I've got a GUI interface.
It was just a naysayer.
I guess so. He said nay a lot of times. he did.
Yeah. Yes, I can imagine the situation. They say nay. It's not
nay,
my
nay.
Idea.
Nay. But it was definitely an interesting. That was. For me, it was an interesting demo, and it was one of the first times my eyes were open to what could be done with that. And I think I'm not even sure the capabilities were all that advanced at that point, but the idea, I think, has merit, and obviously people carried it forward. And now to be able to do this with JavaScript, to be able to take all these JavaScript skills and all the books and tutorials out there and bring that into something as fundamental to people's jobs as Photoshop is pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I think it's a really cool idea, but now that I mentioned the Amiga computers that had a sort of scripting language called A-Rex, it was based on something that IBM created many years ago called Rex, and A stands for Amiga. And it was cool. It was not just a language for scripting an application from the outside. You could write some code in a high-level language, very easy to learn, somehow similar to JavaScript and others. And it was not just scripting. It was also a means to make different applications communicate, like, for instance, when you have
a male program.
Well, some sort of application that you...
A female program.
Okay. They could integrate two applications. For instance, you could have a graphics program to generate some graphics, and then have the graphics imported into a word processing program that would do some mail merge or something like that. You could use A-Rex to, in the same script, to script both applications and make them communicate. So this idea of scripting Photoshop with JavaScript is only part of that concept of making those applications communicate. And are you mute?
No.
Okay, it's just the audio is a bit delayed. Okay, but anyway, I think the idea is interesting. I just wonder if it would be possible to do more than just scripting Photoshop and integrating scripts from other languages, because this A-Rex language would allow to a script to actually communicate with applications, not exactly, it would not be exactly something embedded in the application, like what it seems to be this Photoshop scripting with JavaScript. Anyway, I think it's a good idea. It's not the first application that embraces JavaScript. Although, from the top of my mind, I could not remember any other one. But I have seen this. I think in Linux, the KDE systems have some sort of communication similar to A-Rex. I think there is something called Decop, but
but keeping it in the JavaScript theme, GNOME shell actually has tighter bindings with JavaScript, tighter connection to the JavaScript world.
I think that's a recent thing, if I'm not mistaken. The GNOME project embracing JavaScript too.
Yeah.
I think this starts to be a good trend, and I hope other applications embrace it as well. Okay, now moving on to another topic. Now I would like to also comment about an interesting project that I found out. Let me share the screen here.
Is this NoFlow?
Yeah.
Or NoFlodges? Yes.
Yeah. Are you trying to read the?
It depends on where you emphasize it.
Yeah, well, I have no idea, because in the beginning I was writing it with the W in the end, and there is no W in the NoFlow name.
Nope.
Yeah, well, basically, there is a project on Kickstarter to fund this project, which is basically to develop some visual programming tools. But it's a bit confusing for me. I'm not sure if this is some visual flow diagram editor, and why it is related with JavaScript.
Well,
they said it doesn't generate code. It just executes the diagrams.
Given that there's no pictures on it for something that is a visual development environment, well, it's just a development environment, they say. But
yeah, well, there are some pictures in the video.
No, there's pictures of code on that page. There's no pictures of anything substantial about here's what it would be or here's what you get. So, but this is This is on Kickstarter, and they've raised $90,000 so far with 2 weeks to go. So yeah. I think what you're doing is just giving them some more press and publicity.
Yes, they probably should help me something. I mean, yeah. I'm helping them making more money from this. Well, it seemed interesting, but it's still confusing me. Well, if something takes too long to explain...
it's beyond Manuel.
Well, not just Manuel. It's probably beyond many people. I think a simple thing should be quick to explain. And right now, it seems probably very visual, but seems to be very abstract. I don't know. But anyway, I would just want to bring this up because since it mentioned that it will can be used to develop JavaScript applications both on the browser side and on the server side with Node.js, and they present it here. They talk wonders about this, but then it's still not very concrete. Probably once they start showing something concrete,
well,
it will become more.
I mean, certainly the code is there. You can get it, but they're talking about doing an editor for it. So it could be that once the Kickstarter is done in a couple weeks, there will be more news on this. It might be something to check back with in a few months.
Yeah. But this is already not a new thing. I think they announced it earlier, and now they have this campaign on.
Well, the GitHub repo goes back 2 years, so the core of it isn't new. But if they're trying to do an IDE on top of it, that's probably new.
Yes, the one of the developers, this guy Henry Burgess, I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name correctly. I think his name is familiar from the PHP world, but
I think from the Midgard project.
Right, that could be it.
It could be, because it probably is, but I'm just going on memory, not that I've pulled up Wikipedia or Google or Bing.
Yeah. Well, so, Henry, if you are listening to this, that's what I say, please excuse us for not remembering correctly what is your PHP past. And anyway, is now, as you said, for the last 2 years, he has been on... working on this, and well, at least some demo other than the videos would be interesting to see. Maybe you can get back to this later with a more concrete explanation about what this is and if this is interesting. I read that it does not generate code. It's like executable flow diagrams, and they say that it's interesting because you can update the diagrams, and you are already updating your program. You don't have to generate anything. So how does this integrate with JavaScript and Node.js? It's still a bit confusing.
It's written on Node.js, is what it sounds like. Basically, looking at the little I saw from the GitHub repo,
yeah.
But it's sort of like an active Yahoo Pipes, and I don't mean to trivialize it, but Pipes was a big deal when that came out several years ago, and if you could bring more power and more of a standard expressive language to Yahoo Pipes, maybe, and again, I'm sure there's probably a lot more to it than that, but
yeah,
that could be at least part of it. So.
Right now they are trying to get some funding for the project. The goal is $1,000, and then there are subsequent goals in the for to carry on the development, to have the possibility to develop applications for iOS and Android. I was trying to find where I've seen that information. It was somewhere in the Kickstarter project page, but I couldn't find
it.
It's in the middle, as usual, to make it very hard to find. Okay, the idea is best. I just want to bring this up because it had some relation with Node.js. And well, now we're going to carry on with the next topic. I'm glad that my picture did not freeze yet.
But yet.
Better not push it because it will get frozen soon. And the next topic is an article that is, I thought it was interesting because it covered several very, very basic about JavaScript things that I noticed that not everybody is aware. I'm not going to through all of them, but it just mentions things that if you know about them, you'll probably be a little more productive when you write JavaScript code.
Sure.
Basically, there's seven things. One interesting one mention here about their array prototype slice that can be applied to other objects that are not exactly arrays, but they act like some arrays, and you can split the list of elements that they contain, and eventually that will save you a lot of code if you try to do it manually and pulling the elements of a non-array object that acts like an array and then put it in a whole new object.
Yep.
And well, there are seven tips here. I think they are all interesting, and I recommend everybody to take a look at this article. It's not a big deal, but I found it useful.
Cool.
And well, now carry on with the next topic, which is about something that relates with a challenge that the great Michael Kimsel had a few months ago.
He's not great.
What's not great?
He's not great. Copy. Yeah, and I went through this. Yeah.
After all, was it a PHP problem or a JavaScript problem?
This was a mix. This is going back a year and a half. Had a problem about dealing with time zones. And his point is stop asking your users what their time zone is. And yet I think we had a bigger problem if I'm remembering correctly, because what he's saying, the crux of the article is quit asking, don't ask users for a time zone, just relying on the time of the device. So do everything in GMT and make all requests AJAX using GMT. So just do everything in GMT and then use get time zone offset on the device to calculate the difference so you can send that back. Hit a couple of problems with that, or one major problem with that is that the assumption there is that somebody's time zone is set correctly on their computer, but also that assumes that the device that the person is typing on is the device that's sending the request. And we had situations where people were terminal servered there was a big terminal server, I guess, or remote desktop. So somebody was in one city and they were using a terminal, but it was sending requests to another, to the server in another city or another state, actually, that was then sending the request to us. So that the time zone on that server was telling us one thing, but the request is coming from somebody in a different time zone. Admittedly, it was weird, but I think the point of this article, I mean, it's well intentioned. I just don't think he's covering enough bases.
Yeah.
And time has made it a bit hazy. It's been probably 18 months since I had worked on that, but it was more. Now the other thing is that the JavaScript framework that we were working with was written by people that hadn't fully taken it into account. So there was a lot of spread around stuff. So even if we sent down one thing, none of us who inherited the code understood where we would set time zones in all places. So it was a mess, and I don't like time zone stuff.
So you got a trauma on the time zone.
Yes,
thing.
I did. And I'm sorry to ramble so long, but
what you're saying that it won't help just to deal things in GMT. It will not address the problem that the device may not have the time set correctly
at all. It's pretty likely the device has the correct time zone on it. Probably 9 times out of 10 that may be the case. That's just a number pulled from thin air. But I would probably most of the time for most of your users that will be correct. We had an added compounded situation that we were dealing with that was not probably easy to be foreseen, and because we were not on site, it was a lot harder to debug what the heck was going on.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not bad advice. I just think that if you're going to this trouble, you need to be even more aware of what's going on, because there's still going to be some wrinkles that will catch you. Yeah.
Well, for me, I never assume anything about the time. I don't know if you really needed to assume anything about the time of the browser side.
Well, if you're doing, you can. You may need to.
You may just need to adjust just for showing purposes, not exactly to take it as a reliable source of what is the time in the user machine. And other than that, also on the server side, when I was younger, and I used to be younger, I was not aware about these topics. I used to use the local time of the server side. And then more recently, I started using UTC everywhere.
Yeah.
UTC or GMT. I don't know if
I think there is a subtle difference. It used to be called GMT. It's now UTC. There's a scientific difference between the two that doesn't affect anybody. But
we used to say
UTC. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's what I use, UTC, whatever that is. And for storing purposes, and if I want to show it in the user side, what is the correct time on his time zone, I just adjust it according to some calculation, which it's a bit challenging because it's not the same during all the year because of the daylight savings that may vary throughout the time. Well, anyway, this is just to give a tip to everybody that may have been having challenges, issues with times, and for now, I just will leave the link to this article in the program show notes, so you can go to the next topic,
okay, which is the diagram editor.
Yes, exactly. It's about GiantJS. Well, I thought this is very cool and quite well developed. I mean, very many features. And I think it's better to show than to tell. Basically, we can see here is a diagram that you can edit some elements, their positions, the arrows that they may have linked them. And the cool thing about this is that all this is programmable. If you want to develop your own visual editor, your visual diagram editor, you can configure all these things and integrate them with your JavaScript application with some handling of events. I've just shown you a finite state diagram, and now I'm going to show another type of diagram, which is different, but it works by the same principles. You have elements that you can drag, and they have a connection between those elements, and you can kill the connections if you want. So if you want to develop a visual editor for some kind of application that you may have, this would be a great start, because it already does a lot.
Yeah. It is definitely impressive, and the one thing I wish they had is pricing on here. It is open source, but they say on the front page, hey, we're just two people, small two-man company. If you buy it, it will help us make this even better. Oh, and actually, I'm wrong. I think what they're saying is buy plugins for it.
Yeah.
Paper, scroll,
and pad. You can donate.
Yeah. Yeah, but they don't say enough about what the plugins, what's in the... Now, there's a video for it. I would prefer just screenshots or something, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, and they don't say what the pricing is, so it's kind of hard to know if you'd want to do it, but...
You can...
You can pledge money.
You can pledge money, but they do not say what is the amount they want to request. I think you have to... You define whatever is the amount and pay via PayPal.
It's definitely an interesting visual project, certainly.
Yeah. Well, we never know if you ever need to develop a visual project, and probably we have given up that project because it would take too long to build a diagram editor. Now with this component, you can probably go ahead with your project because it does a lot of what you need. And well, congratulations to the authors for sharing their work, because I'm sure it was not a small amount of work. Are you listening to me?
I'm hearing you, yes.
That's good, because Hangouts is telling me that they stopped my microphone because they thought I was typing somewhere else. So silly. The things that Google and God say. moving on with this Hangout, the next topic is about multi-touch screens and libraries to handle multi-touch events. And there is this AmmerJS, which is a library that will help you to handle multi-touch events. Well, touch events in general, and then also multi-touch. I was trying to... Oh, here it is. There is a demo called Event Log. It detects the touch events. I don't know if you can see me touching.
There's a few that I can't seem to generate, and that's because my browser is... or my OS is capturing, like, swipe left, swipe right. But, yeah, I was able to check or to do... some of the drags and the pinch and zoom. The pinch and zoom, probably the biggest ones, to be able to capture those. It's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, I happen to have a touch screen, but this is not... but it is not detecting the events as touch events. It's detecting them as
clicks.
As mouse events. So... I can drag the mouse, but I can also touch in different positions. And that's because, well, I'm on Linux, and I think Chrome for Linux is not yet able to detect touch events like in a mobile or a tablet device. I think this is useful because whether you are in a real touch device or not, you can use this library to simplify the process of handling touch events.
Yeah.
And you can see there are some action in reaction to the touch events. Can you see my mouse pointer or?
Yes.
Well, in the end, it doesn't matter if it is detecting the events as mouse events or real touch events. But I thought this is interesting, and I also want to comment about another library that I actually mentioned a few months ago, Tuteki. I'm not sure how this is supposed to be pronounced. It is a component by Jonathan Gotti. He submitted to the JS classes a few months ago. And I think it also does somewhat similar. I don't know if it handles the multi-touch events, because since it allows simulation of touch events with mouse events, this probably... is not able to simulate, handle multi-touch events. This is another solution for a similar problem, just probably not multi-touch, but it is able to detect events like tapping and moving, the swiping, zoom in and zoom out. Well, I thought zoom in and zoom out would be a multi-touch event, but I'm not sure if that's the case. Well, anyway, that's just to reference something that can be useful. Personally, I'll like to use to have some support in to touch events in my sites, because sometimes that can be very useful. For instance, if you have a listing with pagination, instead of clicking on the tabs to change the pagination, you can just swipe to move on to the next page, and it probably is better for users and on small screens that they do not have to aim their fat heads in the tabs, which may be probably too small for them to tweet them correctly. And if they can swipe, I think it will be a better solution for a more usable user interface. Well, as for topics for this hangout, we have practically reached the end of what I have planned. I just want to comment something about JS classes that I implemented recently. It's not a big deal, but I think it was interesting. I'm going to share a screen for now. You should go to the home page. Oh, somebody's calling you.
Carry on.
Well, as I was saying, there is if you go to the home page of JS classes, on the left side below there is a section that says featured classes, and these are the top classes that are receiving most users from search engines like Google. It's a different type of ranking classes. It's not based on the actual users that downloaded them, but I wanted to implement this because Google supplies some information about what are the components, I mean the topics that are more searched, that led to visits to classes that exist on the in this case on the JS classes site. And as you may see here on the left, there is even a number. In this case it says number one, then there is an interrogation mark here,
yeah,
which means that the number of visits is not accurately defined, so it's not possible to determine if this is number two or number three or number four. So there is some interrogation mark. Anyway, the top packages that are getting more visits from search from now on, they'll be listed here on the home page as featured classes.
So this is not rolled out yet, but it will be soon?
No, this is already implemented on the site, and all the authors that published packages in the site were notified. I just did not make an announcement on the site blog.
I don't see it on my screen.
Are you logged in?
Yes.
You need to be logged out. For now, it only appears on for non-logged users.
Oh, okay.
That's why. And
okay. Gotcha.
But this will appear also in the top 10 pages.
Okay.
It doesn't appear on for logged users just because I could not figure out to fit it in the layout for logged users, because there is some additional information, but I'll have to figure it out later. Other than that, on the right side there is also another listing based on the same principles called featured class articles. These are class articles that I have been getting visits from the search engines, in this case Google. And when I say class articles, are articles about the classes that were published in the site. So each class has its own blog. So these are articles published about these classes. And for now, they will just list these four. If there are more articles that get also a noticeable amount of visits from search engines, they will be listed here. In the case of the featured classes on the left, it shows like up to 20. It doesn't show more because it will get the page even more loaded than it is already, and it would not serve any purpose. Just to give an idea, which are the top most visited packages from search engines. And other than that, one thing that's not showing here is that once an author of a class makes to the top 20, you will get a notification by email saying, congratulations, you are one of the top featured classes. You are the author of one of the top featured classes, and I hope you continue to submit more great classes. And well, that's just to encourage the authors to submit even more great classes to the site, as well as good articles about them, as you may see here on the right. Well, that's just to mention something briefly, and it's not really something important, but it's just some recent development. It was not announced on the site blog. I thought it was not that important, but the authors that already published in the site were notified. So moving on to one final section of this hangout, on which we comment on the winners of the Innovation Award that goes on every month. In this case, we're going to talk about the winners. Actually, they were nominated in June, and they were voting in July. Then in August, the results come out. There were not many packages published in June. Probably people were on vacation, and but at least you have three to comment about. Michael, which ones would you like to comment?
Well, I am trying to log in again. Log in here. Screen share. I think it's this one. Yeah. This is from, I hope I'm going to say this right, Touré Elias from Benin, or Benin. Again, apologies if I get that wrong. That seems to be a country that I have not heard of. But this is a jQuery plugin. This is actually the top voted one. A jQuery plugin to turn lists into collapsible trees. Uses CSS styles to switch the presentation and collapse state. So it's there's a couple of directories here. Is including jQuery, but then the actual min view, the code. Whoops, I am logged in. I'm logged in.
Are you sure? Watch.
Okay, I can... I'm logged in, so it told me I was logged in.
Yes.
I'm going to load up.
It goes to the single sign-on site, and you need to wait for it to return.
But I have done that once before. So that's it in terms of the code. It does just... I don't know if you can see that too well.
It's minified, so...
Yeah, it's minified. It's really... It's not much. It's just converting the ULs and LIs into open and closed or related items that have open and closed status. I'm going to go... It has... whoops, not scripts. Ah, wrong. Okay, so there's styles. So there's styles to go along with it, tree styles to go along with it. How do I go back up? There we go. Yeah. And then just a basic example file, which is not minified. But I don't have it running here right now, but you can imagine collapsible stuff. I've seen minified code before, but I was still expecting it to be a little bit bigger than what it was. But very tight, compact, does one thing, does it well.
Yeah. Oh. Well, it's not exactly something complicated. It's not. But given that there were no other components in the site that did that before, that's why it was nominated.
Well, so I got to say, even something's not that complicated. It's if it's one less thing that I have to think of that's done and tested and works, it still makes... I have to say, dealing with trees in general, I've often still... I've done it for years, and I still end up making... I forget something, and I get confused sometimes. So it's still easier to let somebody else do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tour, for... Oh, I'm sure I'm not pronouncing this name right.
Touré Elias, I'm going to say.
Probably the national language over there is probably French, so I suspect there is an accent there that is missing. Okay, but that's me guessing. Anyway, on my part, I'll like to comment a couple of other classes. One of them is from Satyam Kumar Watt from India, and this is basically another jQuery plugin to implement what is called infinite scrolling. Basically, it just shows lets you trigger some AJAX requests to obtain content to show in a section of the page that you have scrolled to, and basically it will. I'm not logging either to show the code. Shame on me.
Shame on you. It's pretty basic.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it here right now. It's pretty basic.
Yeah. It's what's basic? Login.
The code. No, the code. I'm saying.
Are you telling me that I'm basic?
No, the code is basic. You're anything but basic. You're extremely complex and a special snowflake.
Well, basically, this is a plugin that's not really very complicated because, in great part, jQuery already does the AJAX thing, the requests that are sent out. And it is useful for people that are looking for solutions to implement the so-called infinite scrolling. Michael, do you use infinite scrolling in your websites?
I don't use them in the websites that I do. I use it on Google Plus, of all places, and other sites. I mean, I'm a consumer of it, but I have not built anything like that.
Yeah, because there are some pros and cons. I don't know. I see some people complaining about it. I don't know what is the matter. Maybe because when you go back and forth in the history, the back... forward and backwards buttons, probably it doesn't, sometimes it does not figure very well where it was.
I think it does work well for consumer type sites, public things for people. A lot of the stuff I work on tends to be more internal business type apps, and blocked pagination works a lot better for what they want. It makes them feel like they're in Excel.
Yeah, but a lot of people use these things, so... Oh, damn, I lost the screen sharing. I was trying to... I don't even have a good idea when I lost the screen sharing. It is back there, right? And I was trying to show the code. No, again, I'm showing the code. Well, anyway, this was one of the components. And finally, there is another one. This one is very simple from Lucas, Thiago Moraes from Brazil. Basically implemented something that is... Oh, I've seen many, many classes for this in PHP, but in this case, it's doing it on the browser side, which is to implement some sort of pagination. So you have to perform some calculations given the number of entries that you want to play on a listing. And you also define the limit number of entries that you want to display, and this very, very simple component performs all the calculations that you need to do to get the next page, the previous page, and this is just the calculations, not exactly showing pagination links like many other components do, but I think it's still useful because these calculations tend to be done over and over again in listings that need to be paginated. Well, basically, with this one, we conclude this section on which you comment about the latest classes that were submitted for the Innovation Award. This month was not exactly very productive. Probably people are on vacation, but I hope they are returning in the following month. Which was July. They had already a great quantity of nominated classes, and I hope it continues to increase as people return from vacation and start submitting more components. Other than that, we practically reached the end of this hangout.
I'm going to share one thing. Just briefly,
I was about to ask about that.
I'm just going to throw it out and just say we are open. Opened up ticket sales a little bit ago. It was a little delayed from what I wanted, but we have I think right now, I think there's 9 or 10 speakers selected on the site. There's another, well, that could be somebody calling right now. Thank you very much. You can just go to IndieConf.com, get your ticket. No need to call. And they are, I think we have, there's another 4 or 5 that I have confirmed with verbally, and we'll be getting their stuff up in the next couple of weeks. So we're finalizing up the sessions and the speakers, and it's shaping up to be, dare I say, hopefully a little bit better than last year. I don't want to say too much better, just because last year was pretty darn good.
Yeah. And so, what kind of sessions do you have this year?
Oh goodness!
I mean,
it's a usual mix of there's some things that are a little bit more on the business side, like how do you get clients? How do you deal with the contract side? We're going to have some legal people there, some financial people to talk about that, and some business oriented people, sales coaches, that sort of thing. Talk about the business side. A couple of techie sessions. We have. I think it's Berman Painter coming in, and he's actually fairly well known in the UX area in Charlotte, and he's going to be coming in talking about SaaS, a big deep dive into SaaS, as deep as you can get in a 45-minute session. And there's some others that are a little bit more on the soft side of I shouldn't say soft side, but sort of the non-techie skills. Public speaking. We've had we had somebody in the past come and give public speaking, small public speaking workshops. And he's wasn't able to make it last year, but we had a lot of people saying, "Where was that? Where was that?" So he's going to be coming back this year. Things like that, like time management and public speaking and budgeting and financing or financials and contracts and getting clients. All those sorts of things that if you're working for yourself as a web guy, you're doing that because you're a good web guy. You already know how to do that. You know how to connect to a database. You know how to write to a file. You know how to slap some HTML on the screen, and not dismissing front-end design stuff, but you know what I mean. But the questions that I get are, how do you write contracts? So we're covering those sorts of things.
So as usual, there are not many tech talks, just mainly about business.
Yeah, a little bit more. It's a little bit more on the business side. There's still a few slots open. There may be a couple of techie-oriented ones. We've got at least one SEO talk, and there may be a JavaScript talk or another CSS talk, something like that, because that is the audience there. It's web people, so some of them want to know something of that. But it's easier to get that sort of information than it is to get good face-to-face information about some of those harder-to-quantify skills.
Right. Is it 1 or 2 days?
It's 1 day, Saturday, November 23rd, so about 3 months from now.
Okay. Are there multiple tracks or just a single track?
Three concurrent tracks. So assuming that it's as it was last year, that will be 27 hours plus lunch, so 7 times 3 is 21 different sessions to choose from.
Just out of curiosity, all those people feel about that, like, oh, I cannot go to...
There's always a bit of that. To count, two things. We have videoed in the past, though I've generally not been able to get all the videos up. I have most of the videos from last year. I'll probably be putting more of those up over the next couple of weeks, or actually probably the next month or so. So we'll probably video those again to have them. But usually there's a bit of overlap. We try not to schedule things that I think would
about
be in conflict. Yeah, well, and we may have the same general topic a couple of times. Client management, how do you deal with clients? Skills or techniques for dealing with, when do you fire a client? How do you deal with these sorts of things? We'll probably have a couple of talks on those from different people on different perspectives, but there'll be a bit of that. So if you miss one, you can go to the other. It's a perennial problem of conference scheduling in general. So we try to combat some of the more common topics, or have that with some of the common topics being variations of those throughout the day.
Right. So it will be in Raleigh, or?
Yeah, back in Raleigh again, and we shall see if we go out to another city next year.
Yeah, we go on tour.
Brazil.
Michael Kingston on tour.
Yeah, we're going to go to Rio.
It's a large market for freelance developers. Never know. And,
maybe.
What about the pricing? Is it already...
Do
you ever raise the prices or not?
It's $99 one day.
Okay, but will you raise the prices as...
No. No, that's not the plan. It's just, so we have done early bird pricing in the past and then a higher price, and we're trying to keep it simple this year. It's just, it's one price.
No rush for they don't have to rush to get a good pricing.
They should rush anyway. They should rush regardless, yeah. Because it does help us determine food pricing and things like that. But
you know, that's the usual trick. They raise the prices as the time goes, but just to encourage people to register early. Well, anyway, we already know that it will be a great event. Too bad I can never make it. It's in a different part of the globe for me.
Well, maybe you can make it next year.
Probably.
There's still 80 days left, 90 days left. You might be able to make it.
Yeah. Well, I know I'll be in the U.S. like next month, by the end of September. There will be a Google event. It's a different part.
Just stay around for a little bit.
Just stay around for 1.5 months. Just to not lose the trip.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's always great to know about that event, because it's related to what many of developers watching this Hangout do. They are freelance developers. It's great. We don't see many events with that focus. And
correct.
I hope you can continue with this event for many, many years to come. Well, with this, I'd like to thank you again for coming, Michael.
Excellent.
I hear that Obama is calling you about to decide about the serious thing. Yeah, he needs to have your opinion. You are very important.
That could be.
Person.
That could be. Yes. And on that bombshell, can I say bomb?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I cannot say bomb. No, it will trigger some NSA events.
Thank you. Coming and knocking on the door right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's another type of bomb. Okay, NSA.
Okay.
Okay, I will not tie you any further, because Obama has been calling you several times already.
Yes.
Well, thank you again for coming. On my part, that's all for now.
Okay.
Bye.
Adios.